the ascension. Well, as I said, we don't hear very many messages about the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We hear about his resurrection. We hear about his birth. We hear about his miracles, and you know, we hear a lot of different things about his teachings, and we want to hear all those things. But we also need to understand about this ascension, that he ascended into heaven, and what that means to us. So Jesus spent those 40 days. He was appearing, and then he was reappearing again and again to his disciples, teaching them different things. It says he taught them a lot of things during those 40 days after his resurrection. But he had to depart. He had to depart. If not, the shepherd or the sheep would continue to want to gather around the shepherd. You know, here's the shepherd. Well, the sheep are going to want to gather around the shepherd. The shepherd's going to be taken away. And what's going to happen? The sheep are going to be scattered in a good way. In a good way. God's will was for the flock of believers to depart too. Jesus departed. He had to. And it was God's will for the flock to depart too. And that's what we see in the work of spreading the gospel, their departure. Mark chapter 16, I read it earlier, I'll read it again. Mark chapter 16, verse 19 and 20, the last two verses of Mark. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it, the word. Christ left to go to heaven so that we could leave to go into the world. That was the point. And that makes two departures. If you look on your bulletin, that's the name of this message. Two departures. The ascension is about two departures. But really, I'm going to show you it's about four departures. It's about four departures. And you're going to see what that means. I hope that you can take these four departures in your mind with you when you leave this congregation today. Well, there were two departures into heaven. The first was our Lord's departure into heaven. And this is an amazing thing. If you think about this, really, really meditate. I've meditated on this for like 30 years, more than 30 years. I've meditated on the incarnation and what it meant for God to become a human being. That is just the most awesome doctrine. It has to be the most awesome doctrine in the entire universe that God would become a human being. And Christ, he did that. So that the ascension means this. It's amazing. It means that human flesh has taken up residence in heaven now. I'm not talking about spirits in heaven. There's lots of angels and there's a lot of human spirits and people that are maybe in heaven now too, you know? But what about this? Human flesh. A body. Human flesh has taken up residence in heaven. Now that's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing. And a human king is now on a heavenly throne, reigning from heaven. A human king. Get the point is, we often think, yeah, he's God. Well, just think about it. He's God. He's a human. He's a human being. He became one so that he could do this. A human heart. A human heart sits at the center of the celestial headquarters. Christ's heart is a human heart. He knows how to identify with our human needs. And you know something? It says that Jesus sat down at the right hand of God, you know? But I have to say that he stands up when his servants are suffering, as he did with Stephen when they were stoning him to death and for preaching the gospel. Here's what it says. Look, said Stephen, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He was standing up. But the point is, he's at God's right hand in a place of sovereign reign, sovereign rule, of kingship. That's why we sang about crown him with many crowns. We sang about that today. I wanted to get that scripture. And it says in this scripture about him returning to heaven, going back to heaven. Now, that was Christ's departure. That was the ascension, Christ going up. But another ascension happened. Christ's departure initiated another departure. And I'm not talking about what we're going to talk about in a few minutes, about going into all the world. I'm talking about our departure into heaven. We're there. In a mystical way, we're already there. This happened when Christ ascended into heaven. Now, in a sense, I'm not talking about the ultimate departure, like when we die and when we go to heaven. That's going to happen someday, ultimately. That's going to be the thing. That's the promise. Jesus said this in a promise. He said, "In my Father's house are many, many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may also be where I am." He's talking about the ultimate end point, his return. Or if we die and go to heaven, like that. He's going to prepare a place for us like that when this life is over. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about something that's similar to Christ's promise when he says in John, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be." Where is Christ? Where is he? He's in heaven, isn't he? So if we are his servants and we're following him, then where are we? We are in heaven. This is very mysterious. This is a mystery. This is a mystical truth. It is absolutely true. It's more true than us sitting here in this room today. It's more true than that. We are, as Paul said, because this is what Paul says in this mystery. He described it. Where are we now as believers? Where are we now in a mystical way? Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, God raised us up with Christ. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul says. Now, that doesn't... wait a minute. How are we there? How are we there? Well, this is something that's real. This is something that, like I said, you've probably never heard anybody preach about this, although you might have heard a message on living in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yes, we are there with Christ. Because why? We are in him. We are in him. We are in Christ. And he is exalted now at the right hand of the Father. So where are we? We are with him. This is an amazing, amazing, mystical, I have to say. But this is where we get this idea. This is where the confession that we make in the Apostles' Creed. We did the Nicene Creed today. But in the Apostles' Creed it says, "I believe in the communion of the saints." What does that mean? The communion of the saints is this. The church is the church militant, the one that we're participating in right now, and the church triumphant. But in the midst of those two, there is only one church in unity in Christ Jesus. And we are all members of one another, whether we are absent from the body or present here, and present with the Lord or here on the earth. You know, we are all together one church, and therefore we commune with Paul and Peter and any of the other saints every day, every single day. Why? We're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't experience that with my brain, and you're not probably experiencing it right now, but that is the truth that you need to say about yourself. Where are you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? So, what does that mean? How does this help us in the rest of our lives? Well, we're always looking down on our circumstances, you know? We're not under our circumstances, okay? We're not being crushed by the difficulties and the trials. We're looking down on them from heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and that's where we need to look at them from. That's where we need to look at all the trials that we go through from that perspective, from heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because really, if we are seated with Him, then where is He seated? He is seated in the place of dominion. He is seated in the place of victory. He has become the King of the universe, heaven and earth. All things, He said, are given unto all power and all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now that is true. And He's reigning in that place, in heavenly places. He is reigning in that role of being King over all things. And we are seated with Him. It says in Ephesians, it continues to say in Ephesians, about us being seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, what is He doing there? God put this power to work in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And He has put all things under His feet and has made Him the head over all things for the church. The church has a great destiny in the future, but right now we are participating in that destiny already in Christ Jesus. And we are in those heavenly places with Him. Now, living in two places at once doesn't give us a split personality. Does it? No, it doesn't. But what it does, it allows the true integration, of our spiritual selves with our earthly lives. You see, you are a spiritual being that is seated with Christ in heavenly places, but your body is right down here and your spirit also lives in this body. And the integration of that life, that heavenly life, with this earthly life, that is made possible by our acknowledging this truth. We are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but we are integrating that heavenly life with our earthly life. And that is our victory in this life. That's where victory is found, in this life. Now, the ultimate goal of resurrection is to bring our spirits and our bodies back together. It's not for spirits to go live in heaven forever and just be living in heaven forever. No, it's to bring these two together. That's what the ultimate true union of flesh and spirit is in the resurrection that is to come. But right now, we sit in heavenly places in Christ. We have fellowship with Him beyond any physical limits. We say, but He's gone. Yeah, but we're with Him. And He's with us. And that's about the second thing, because, you see, there were two departures in the ascension. There were the departure into heaven of Christ and our departure into the world. But in that departure into heaven, He also took us. So we also depart. That makes two departures. And then, that's what it means for us to be in Christ. But there were also two departures into the world. We were to go out into the world and preach the gospel. But the disciples went out and preached everywhere. That's the second part of the ascension. He ascended, and the disciples departed and went out into the world. Now, the ascension brings a new kind of logic to our thinking, how we view this earthly life. Christ is our new home, right? We are in Christ. Christ is our new home. And when we think about that, He has become the center of our lives. He's the center of our lives. Now, if our new home is in heaven, if our new home is there, then this world, as it is in its passing away, this world, this old age that is passing away, this world is not our home. We're looking for a new heaven and a new earth. So this world that we're living in, we live in as pilgrims. We are sojourners here. We are just pilgrims. We're just on a journey through this world. This is not our destiny. This is not our home. Our destiny is a new heaven and a new earth to come, which we can't get into everything here, but I've talked about it a lot before. But this idea of being on a sojourn, being on a journey, this prepares us for our mission. This gives us a mission mentality. I'm not here to put down stakes and I'm not here to build mansions. No, I'm here on a mission to accomplish. I'm on a journey and I got to get my mission done. That's what I'm here for. That gives us a mission mentality. And what is our mission? What is our sending? Jesus described it when he said, Jesus said, "Peace be with you," to the disciples. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This sending forth that Jesus does for us, going into the world and preaching the good news, you know, this was his heart burden while he was here. Here's what he said. He said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." Jesus was not a church planter. You know, I'm planting a church and this will be my home church. He never had that. He was going, as soon as he preached in one village, he said, "I got to go to the next one. I got to go to the next one. I got to get this good news out." He was on a journey, and that's how he was sent. That's how we are sent. That was his heart burden while he was here, and that's his heart burden for us. He wants to send us forth. So Christ's will for us is to go into the world. I mean, yes, we come here to church, and that's important. And that's a sort of a thing of obedience, in a sense that he wants us together, but why does he want us together? He wants us to be strengthened. He wants us to be alive in him, and he wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can also do the kind of work that he did. "As the Father sent me, so send I you." He wants us to go out to the next person, to the next thing that God has for us to do. That's our mission, a mission mentality, going forth. And our task is not really just to meet together. That's good. Fellowship is great. It's out of that fellowship. It's out of that sharing time. When you bring something that blesses your heart and you share with the other person, that strengthens them. That's why I want us to have a good sharing time. I want us to think about, how can I bless the congregation? How can I bring something to the congregation that will bless them? And that will be how we're built up so that we can fulfill this mission. And I want to just review these three things. Okay, first of all, there's the first ascension. Okay, there's the ascension, departure number one. Then there was departure number two. That's us going up with Christ into heavenly places. That's a mystical ascension, but it's real. It's very, very real. More real than us sitting here. And then there was the Great Commission, sending us forth. But there was one more. There was one more departure. The fourth departure is Christ's renewed departure into the world with us. What does it say? It says here in this verse, "The Lord worked with them." Now, he had just gone to heaven. So, he's working with them. How does that work? You see, just as in Christ, we are in heavenly places, Christ, who is seated in his fleshly body in heavenly places, is also, through the Holy Spirit, in us. Wherever we go, he is working in us. And you know, God started walking on this planet right in the beginning in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He was walking in the garden. He never wanted to leave. He never wanted to depart. That's not his purpose. He's always wanting to do that. That's his ultimate purpose. At his ascension, he gave a specific promise to go with us. He said, go into all the world, and lo, I am with you always. These are two facets of the Great Commission. They're the same thing. He's sending us forth, but he's promising to go with us. He's also departing as we depart into the world. Now, we may be gifted channels of his power and his will, but we can do no miracles on our own. It's still Jesus. It's always Jesus. It's still Jesus who does the miracles. It's still Jesus who teaches. And I pray right now that he's teaching through me. He's teaching through me so that you can have the strength to realize I am in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm above these circumstances because I'm looking down on them. Right. You are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, no matter what you're going through. But also when you are thinking about God is calling me to go next door to visit the neighbor, to go visit that sick person, to go bring a card to someone, or maybe the welcome baskets that Barbara does, helping her maybe get the welcome baskets out, accompanying her on that little journey of bringing the presence of Christ who is in you to others. That is the purpose. That is the purpose of the ascension. If Jesus had stayed the little flock, they loved Jesus, they wanted to be around him, they would have stayed together, but that's not God's will. It had to be established, this four departures had to be established so we could get the job done that Jesus started when he came here. And you know, I said Christ left to go into heaven so that we could leave to go into the world. That is the theme of this message, but really what it's about. Christ wants to still, he still wants to go into the world. He wants to visit your neighbor. He wants you to speak to someone else and him speak through you. That's what he's about. And he's always been about that. And he's not stopping. And that's why being a Christian, this is what this means. There are four departures. And the ascension is not a time of ending, but it's a time of beginning. It's a time of really for us to begin. We begin by, first of all, waiting on the promise of the Father, because what follows ascension 10 days later is Pentecost. Pentecost is the coming of the Holy Spirit, because remember, we can do nothing on our own. Just like Jesus said, he could do nothing on his own. He only did and said what he saw his Father doing through the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly the way he was sent. That's exactly the way we are sent. And this really puts us on our mission, doesn't it? The ascension sets us off on our mission. So when you think about the ascension, when you contemplate Christ's departure at the ascension, let's ask him in prayer and quietly before him. Ask him, where are you sending me today, Lord? Where are you sending me today so that I can bring your presence to those people? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this passage of Scripture. It puts the ascension where it really belongs, and that is in the commission, the Great Commission. And I pray, Lord God, that you might help us to realize that we are with you ascended into heavenly places at your right hand, and that we can look down on all circumstances because of our spiritual beings also participating in your heavenly life in heaven because we are in Christ. But also, Lord, as we go forth, we're not going alone. You have sent us forth that you said you'd always be with us. Even though you're in heaven, you are in us. And that's what this means for you to be departing again into the world in a renewed way through your people and in a multiplied way, because now you go all over the place in our physical bodies. As we go, you go. And I pray, Father God, you'll help us to be attentive, help us to be in prayer, help us to listen to your voice and obey. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.